Now, as we have a further meditation from the Psalms, I want today to read to you Psalm 116, the 116th Psalm. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, the pains of hell got hold upon me, I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of that psalm. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we come to Thee again, and surely, as we have read from Thy word, the words of the psalmist come clear to our hearts, and we feel like saying with him, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Grant, O God, that this shall be the attitude of heart of all those who listen to Thy word now. We ask it in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Now, as you read down through this psalm, you will notice there is a statement that's found four times. In verse 2, he says, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. In verse 4 he said, then called I upon the name of the Lord. In verse 13 he said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Again in verse 17 he says, and will call upon the name of the Lord. It is obvious then from the reading of this psalm that the psalmist is thinking primarily upon some reasons why he should call upon the name of the Lord. After all, it's a good thing to call upon the name of the Lord, and it's a scriptural principle to call upon the name of the Lord. When you turn over to the New Testament, you learn truth like this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's an amazing thing how that some people never seem to think it worth their while to call upon the name of the Lord. When they're in trouble, they will call to other people. They'll call upon their friends and their neighbors. They might call to the preacher. If there's a sickness, they call for the doctor. Strange thing. It seems with some people it's only a last resort if they call upon the Lord. Do you remember me telling you some time ago of the incident of the old lady who was passing over the Atlantic in the days when most people had to sail in the ships. And the ship she was on struck a tremendous storm. The ship was almost at a standstill. And the old lady went to see the captain. And she asked the captain a few questions. And she said to him, "How bad is the storm?" He said to her, "Lady, it's so bad." He says, "I can't do anything about it. We'll have to leave the issue in God's hand." "Oh my," she said, "has it come to that? Has it come to that?" You see, but she only expressed what a lot of other people are thinking. They're not prepared to leave the issues in God's hand. But you know, morning by morning, we should commit our day to the Lord. And evening by evening, we can thank God for what He's done throughout the day. We should be prepared daily to leave the issues with God. Then when it comes to eternal issues, we should be prepared to put the eternal issues in the balance with God and leave the issues with Him. That simply means that we call upon Him. However, the psalmist here in the first four verses is speaking regarding certain dangers. And in the midst of these dangers, he's going to call upon the Lord. Now he tells us that he loves the Lord. And he loves the Lord for this reason, because he had heard my voice and my supplication. You know, it's a tremendous thing when a person has love for the Lord, and when that person knows this, that the Lord that he loves is the Lord who heard him, the Lord who listened to him, and the Lord who answered his supplications. He distinctly says here, "because he hath inclined his ear unto me," that is, because God listens to me in the midst of all my dangers, I will call upon him. Now he shows us then that one outstanding danger that came upon him was this: the sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell got hold upon me, I found trouble and sorrow, then called I upon the Lord, or upon the name of the Lord. Here you see there was danger. And in the midst of his danger, this man was almost overcome with sorrows, the very worst of sorrows, the sorrows of death. He was encompassed with these, and the very pains of hell got hold upon me, he said. All he could find was trouble and sorrow, and out of the depths of his trouble and his sorrow, out of the depths of his danger, he cried to the name of the Lord, "I will cry," or "I will call upon the name of the Lord." And what is he crying? "I beseech thee, O Lord, deliver my soul." So he's dealing first of all with dangers. May I ask each listener today, is it possible that in the circumstances of your life, you have been brought into many dangers? The storms of life may have broke upon you. The waves of trouble and the waves of sorrow have almost overwhelmed you. My friend, let me ask you, remember this: whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if that is true, may I ask, have you turned and called upon the name of the Lord? But then he goes a little further, verses 5 through 9, he speaks of deliverance. And so therefore, because of deliverance, he's going to call upon the name of the Lord. He says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." Three things he tells us in that verse. Tells us the Lord is gracious, the Lord is righteous, the Lord is merciful. You see, the righteousness of God is the link between the graciousness of God and the mercifulness of God. It's true our God is gracious. It's true our God is merciful. But lying between that, there is the connecting link of the righteousness of God. God will never deny his own righteousness. God is gracious. God is righteous. God is merciful. He goes a little further and he says, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and they helped me. You see, he's thanking the Lord here for his deliverance. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. Think for a moment of David, the man who perhaps was hounded on the hillside for years. His enemies were after him, pursuing him to take his life. But the day came when David was back in his rightful place, restored to the things that were his by right. He had returned to his right place, and a true relationship again was set up between David and the people, and David and his God. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. Settle down with this now. The Lord has delivered. But then think again of the children of Israel as a nation. There came the time when they also were driven out of the land, taken away as captives, but the time came when a remnant of them came back again to the holy city, rebuilt the walls and rebuilt the temple and re-established their form of worship. What a time to praise God and to call upon the name of the Lord for his great deliverance. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. See, first of all, he's praising the Lord here, calling upon the Lord in thanksgivings, first of all, because he delivered his soul from death. That's wonderful. But he says, mine eyes from tears. He had wiped away his tears now. He's no longer crying. And my feet from falling. See, there was a time when his feet were slipping from the path, but God had preserved him. And so he says, thou hast kept my feet from falling. Therefore, he has much for which to thank God. When you come to verse 10, he begins to speak of devotion. Look how he introduces this thought. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. He says, you know, in that trouble, in my haste, I said, all men are liars. But he had learned the truth now. And he's turning round and he's expressing his devotions to God. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He is a man now marked by devotion. He's telling us what he's vowed before God and what he's going to do. I like that expression. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. But you notice that that is connected with the closing statement of verse 12. He's speaking of what you render unto the Lord. What about? For all his benefits towards me. Think of that. All the benefits that the Lord has showered upon David. Now, think for a moment of the benefits of salvation. For that's what he's been talking about. Thou hast delivered me. That's the same thought as being saved. Deliverance and salvation are equal things. Now, since he has been saved, since he has been delivered, he said, now I'm going to render something to the Lord, not in order to be delivered, but because he has delivered me for the benefits he has bestowed upon me, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The benefits of salvation, may I suggest some of them? First of all, the first great benefit of salvation, the benefit of being delivered, is an enjoyed peace. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. An enjoyed peace. The man or the woman who is living a life at variance to God is not enjoying peace. They're not having the joy of the Lord filling their soul, and they're not at peace with God. But when once they have called upon the name of the Lord out of the midst of their trouble, and God has hearkened and heard their cry and has delivered them, then they have this enjoyed peace. They're at peace with God. It's the peace of a calmed conscience. It's the peace of a heart that's right with God. Therefore, being justified with God, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. But may I suggest another benefit of salvation? It is an eternal possession. John chapter 5 verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You see, that verse tells of a present and an eternal possession. He is in possession of eternal life. And so therefore, one of the benefits of salvation is this, that the recipient is in possession of eternal life. It's an eternal possession. It's one of the benefits for which we can give thanks to the Lord. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? May I suggest another benefit from this great salvation that has been bestowed upon us? It's the benefit of an established position. You know, away back in Psalm 40, the writer there has been describing a certain experience, and then he comes to the point where he says he's been brought up out of the miry clay, brought up out of the pit, but not left alone to go his own way. Why, of course not. His feet, he says, have been established upon the solid rock. And so therefore he is in an established position. I've often thought of that beautiful psalm. He said, "Of course I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." You see, here we have an established position, according to Psalm 40. Also in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, he says, "No man shall pluck them out of my hand, were in his hand. My Father is greater than all, and none shall pluck them out of my Father's hand." Here is an established position. Our feet are on the solid rock. We're placed in the hollow of the hand that holds the universe. We have an established position in Christ and on Christ. No wonder the writer of the hymn said, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Again, another benefit of salvation is the benefit of an expected person. John chapter 14, he said to his own that night in the upper room, "If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And the church has been waiting for the return of the Lord now for over 1900 years, and personally, I don't think we have much longer to wait. He could be here any day. I've often thought of that beautiful story of the Good Samaritan, who lifted the man up, put him on his own beast, brought him to the inn. He says, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." He promised he would come again. And I wondered about that man as he sat in the inn, looking down that roadway, watching for his friend who promised to come back. Oh, he'd be on the tiptoe of expectancy, waiting to see the man who did so much for him. Oh, my friend, listen. Here is one of the joys, one of the benefits of salvation. It's the benefit of an expected person. Every true believer is expecting the return of the Lord. It's one of the joys of the Christian life that someday the Lord will come with trumpet sound and call his waiting people home. My, we used to sing that old hymn, it's not heard so often now, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Here is one of the benefits of salvation. It's the benefit of an expected person. We're waiting for the Lord Himself. And then there is the benefit of an enjoyable place. Taking that same scripture, John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we go on to that enjoyable place, the place prepared for those that love the Lord. And you know, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. He's prepared a wonderful place. Oh, says the psalmist, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? And I'm sure of this, these benefits are past counting. There are so many of them. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord had done. But now he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? Now when you think of rendering, you're thinking of giving something. And he turns the coin right round here, and he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. See, first of all, he's going to accept from the Lord this cup which is full and running over, and he calls it the cup of salvation. My friend, you see, salvation not only deals with the past, but salvation deals with the present, and salvation deals with the future. The man or the woman who is in a right relationship with God, that person has been saved from the penal consequences of their sins, and the past is blotted out. That's a great benefit. But they're also being saved from the indwelling power of sin and living in the good of their salvation day by day. Then they're looking onward to the future, when they shall be saved from the very presence of sin and taken home to be forever with the Lord. He said, that's a great cup of salvation. And I'm going to take it from the Lord, and I'll call upon the name of the Lord. Remember, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you've called upon Him for salvation, then you can call upon Him again in thanksgiving for all He's done. Now he said, I will pay my vows unto the Lord. And I'm going to pay them now in the presence of all His people. You know, vows are very strange things. People should never rush in to make vows. If you make a vow to the Lord, it should be made with great wisdom, great deliberation. But once you've made a vow to the Lord, that vow should be kept. So I'll pay them. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of His people. Then here is a rather peculiar verse. He looks to the day when death would overtake him, and he says, precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You know, that's not an easy text to take in, is it? What is there precious about the death of anyone? But he says it's precious in the sight of the Lord when it's the death of one of His saints. When one of those who have called upon the name of the Lord reaches the end of life's journey, and the time has come for God to take them home, God says, that's a precious thing, very precious indeed, when He takes one of His people home. Ah, the psalmist had learned this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Then he says, O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Now, I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And again he says, and will call upon the name of the Lord. See, this man has always some reason for calling upon the Lord. In the midst of his trouble, he'd call upon the Lord. When he needed to be delivered, he called upon the Lord. When he accepted the benefits of salvation, then he calls upon the name of the Lord. And now here is a worshipper in the presence of God. His great delight is this, to call upon the name of the Lord. and to offer something to the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Then he looks forward and he said, there's a coming day when in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of the old Jerusalem, and he concludes with this mighty note of praise, praise ye the Lord. Remember the text, my friend. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.